my gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
touch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings and salutations. Here we are. It's live. Live radio. Wait, why am I not on? Can you hear me? Woo! Had the microphone turned way down. And we are live right now. I don't even know what today's date is. It's like Tuesday, the 12th of April, 2011. And if you've been listening, we've been working with Warland and trying to get his show on the air and with everything. It takes some time. You should have heard our first show. Lou was in here pedaling a bicycle for the generator. I was arcing wires together. Sparks were flying everywhere. I think I got electrocuted a few times. The mic would cut in and out, would get knocked off the air multiple times. So they're saying the audio's too hot there, Stinky Boy. Why don't you tell me? Watch your meter, Lou. Where's your meter?
It's fine.
It's okay. How about that, guys? Thank you for the feedback. I appreciate it. I love it when I get feedback. We know people are alive. Well, this is Stronghold Radio, and we are on the road. We are not in the Stronghold. We're not coming to you from Camp Kuia. We're from our secret sub-site that we go to in our submarine when we need to take care of business. We have to come down off the mountain to procure supplies, ammunition, food, bandages. That's pretty much all we get. Sometimes we come down to pick up our darling little daughter, which we won't be doing till Friday, but now we're down here for other reasons, fun reasons. Well, I've got a couple things to talk about. Yesterday we only did an hour show. Today is going to be 2 hours, definitely. Steve Klein will be on at 6, and you don't want to miss it because today, Steve Klein, 6 o'clock Pacific time, the second hour, got a call from Steve, one of our Code 20 guys, a soldier, in the reserves, full-time reserves, came back from Iraq because he did not do his psych evaluation after combat. They sent the Department of Justice thugs to his house today at 1 p.m. down in Southern California. Steve's going to give you all the specifics. And they came to seize his guns, and this man's wife bolted the door, refused to let them in, and it was a standoff situation with these federal officers. She said, and rightly so, you're not allowed to come in here. My husband is not present. He has authority over this household. You cannot come in. So Steve, I talked to Steve on the phone, and I said, here's what you need to do. You need to get 30 of the Code 20 people, as many video cameras as you can, and you need to surround the federal troops. And I'm not going to go into too much detail here. They did what I suggested. They defused it. Nobody was arrested. Nobody was killed. They did take his guns. And here's the thinking. We can always get more guns. We can't get another soldier in his family. And it was already, the scale had tipped. They were already on the porch. And so Steve's going to tell that story at 6 o'clock, and we're going to learn from this. You soldiers that are returning need to realize your government is not your friend. I have refused for years to go in for my psych evaluation. They sent me a letter saying the same thing to a general delivery, because that's how I get my mail from the government, general delivery, at a post office at a community here where they think I live. And they keep saying, turn in all your guns and come in for your psych evaluation. No, I don't. When I go in for VA appointments, they're always saying, are you having suicidal tendencies? Do you have dreams or nightmares? And I keep telling them, if I have PTSD, I got it from my mother, not the military. Back off. But this is a prime example of it. The names and stuff, I don't know if Captain Klein, Steve Klein's going to give it out, but I think it's great that we're seeing this stuff. This stuff needs to happen. We prayed, we set up the prayer chain, and we're real glad that nobody was killed, nobody was murdered by the tyrants. Some people say, well, why'd they give up the guns? It wasn't the time to make the stand there. His wife was in the house alone, and he was outside. He was at work. That's how the cowards work. They knew where he worked. He works for the reserves. They knew exactly where he was. So hopefully more of these soldiers that have been exposed to Code 20 will start to see that the federal government is not their friend. And I'm glad this isn't on the evening news. I'm glad nobody was killed. But I am glad that 30 people showed up and embarrassed these federal officers and did not allow tyranny to take place. So there's a good one there. Well, I'm here to tell you that in Kauai, even though it's only 60 degrees, the rattlesnakes are out today. And by the way, we'll talk more about that in the second hour. I promise you Steve will have all the details. I don't want to take away his show. We were up weed whacking today on a hillside. We have to do it. If you don't abate your weeds, they come in and charge you a huge fine, and they bring in convicts to cut the weeds down on your property. The county and the fire department do. So people pay us $20 an hour to come in and whack the weeds. And today we were working with some folks, friends of the church, and one of the areas that Lou and I had just passed through, there were a bunch of dead baby rattlesnakes. The guy behind us hit him with his weed whacker, Brian, and he's like, does this look like a rattlesnake to you? And I'm like, yeah, they were only about, what, a foot long?
No.
They're about that long. It's about a foot. I should never ask. No, not your foot, 12 inches. Lou's pointing to his foot. You almost lost that foot. But the one thing about these baby vipers, these rattlesnakes, is that when they bite you, and this is not a myth, they inject all their venom. It's a defensive mechanism that's in them, and you get the full dose. And you get multiple. It is possible to die from a rattlesnake bite. Somebody my size, 250.
It doesn't give you a buzz.
It does not give you a buzz, Lou says. You've tried.
What?
You've tried rattlesnake venom. But we were right there, and we don't know which weed whacker killed him, but suddenly there's all these dead baby rattlesnakes, not in the rocks, in a field, in a slightly gentle sloped field towards the road. You know, we were just, and we didn't even get it all done today. We weed whacked for 4 hours. We had all kinds of problems. Weed whackers dying and all kinds of stuff. But rattlesnakes are out in Kauai at 1,000 foot here in California. And, you know, yesterday we had all those Russians running around. So who knows? We may have missed some stuff. We didn't get any ticks, though. We came home and had honey buns. Stacy searches for ticks, and we didn't have any. I haven't had a tick in a couple years. But one of our first hikes together, I got a tick 3 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago. I tell you what, I almost rather get bit by a rattlesnake than a tick. I've already got, here I'm going into like giving out my facts again. But I've had problems with ticks in the past. When I was like, people can search me by my medical records. I don't want them to do that. But I've got all kinds of problems from ticks when I was a kid. And shut up! No! I have Lemon's disease, not Lyme's disease. But ticks are nasty. Rattlesnake just makes your leg look like it's going to rot and fall off. Little kids, you got to be aware of the snakes for little kids. 90 pounds, it's always good. Lyme disease is not in the ticks in our area, though. I got sick, though, and I don't know if it was the potato salad at the Shell station or the tick, because they both happened at the same time. So, they don't carry polio, Lou. No. No, ticks don't have polio. No, that's liberals. I remember when I was a kid, my mom thought if I swam with non-white children, I would get polio. My parents were flaming racists, and they said if there were some black kids, which there weren't many black people in Colorado, but some black kids moved into our neighborhood in our community pool, she wouldn't let me swim when they were in the water. She thought I'd get polio from black kids. This woman was insane. Like I said, if I have PTSD, it's from my mother, not combat. But, so ticks probably out. We got poison oak out. We don't have any poison ivy, poison oak everywhere. So we're out clearing brush. And the reason we have to clear the brush is because in about 2 months, this stuff's going to be kindling. And if you've got 3-foot-high weeds up against your house, it doesn't take a genius to see that your house is done. So I think it's 100 feet or 150 feet back. We do it all. We just cut all the weeds all around the house. And, you get all kinds of insects and bites. And you come out smelling like chlorophyll and you're covered. It's great camouflage. You're completely green by the time you're done, especially right after the rainy season right now. So that's how a lot of us make our money up here. That's how we see weeds as cash. We look at it and we just go, yeah, look at all that money in that field. And other people think we're nuts. But $20 an hour is nothing to scoff at in this economy. It's hard work. I can only do about 4 hours a day, and then my back. It's mostly my back, nothing else. All my other injuries, I seem to get around it. I'm a little lightheaded and weak, I think, following the stroke, but I don't know if that's just that or I've been out of shape all winter. IC Freedom says, tick bite is still a nasty puncture wound. Yeah, yeah, it's the disease they carry from the deer, I think, you know, because they go from the deer to the... And we got a lot of deer around here, so ticks are nasty. You got to have a little extraction device. The one I had, I just had Stacy light a match and jab it into my back. Yeah, she forgot to blow it out, so I caught on fire because I was using flammable shampoo. That's how we found it. I got out of the shower, dried off, put on my pajamas, and my daughter's like, Daddy, there's something on your back. And I reached back there and flipped it around and go, that's a weird-shaped mole. So Stacy, who was staying in the guest quarters because we weren't allowed to cohabitate, we weren't married yet, I went down there and she said, here, I don't know you very well yet, but can you get this parasite out of my back? So, yeah, you need to get the little extractors because if you break them off, they stay in the head, and the head stays in the skin, and you can get an infection, and you can die. So I don't know how many people die from it every year. Probably less than a hantavirus, you know, inhaling mouse poo. But there's so many things out there. Yeah, how romantic, our first tick experience. And then I got violently ill the next day, but it could have been the potato salad. By the way, if you're interested in a gas station, grocery store, it's not really a butcher shop, but they do have a meat counter for sale. No, we don't buy anything there. There's a nice little Korean couple running it, but their food's terrible. We call it the Fuzzy Donut Store. The Shell station in town, because the donut, three times in a row, I bought donuts there and they were fuzzy. Now I know what you're saying. Why in the world would this guy give them three tries? Well, they're convenient. It's right there off of the road we live off of. It's right off of North Fork on the Main Fork. So we finally, the last time, because I actually accidentally took a bite out of it, and Lou's like, hey, look, there's fuzz on these donuts. I'm like, nah, nah. Yeah, so we just stopped, and we don't go there anymore. So for like $1.3 million, you can own a Shell station with an apartment in the back, a little grocery store, and I'm just afraid Arabs are going to buy it.
I know.
Because it's on the internet now. If you look up Three Rivers Businesses for Sale, it just got posted this week, and I'm not too excited about that. That would be kind of nasty to have Arabs come into the Shell station and take over. Of course, it'd keep Lou busy because I'd put him in a little hut across the street staring at him with binoculars and a video camera, keeping track of how many sheets go in and out of the store and, you know, what they're bringing. But it's weird. There's a lot of businesses for sale up there. The only business that's really doing good is Chubbs. Or no, what's it called?
Chumps.
It's a video. I call it Chubbs. A video rental store always seems busy. The sandwich shops are busy. The restaurants are okay, but the gas stations, because the gas up there is like $18 a gallon now, isn't it?
It's like,
what is it, $4.25? Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I got to sneeze. Hang on. Quick, Lou, sing. Oh, I sneezed so hard my headphones came off. Excuse me, sorry, folks. Bless me. Somebody say bless me. Thank you. That wasn't heartfelt. If you want to call in, the phone number is 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. And if you want to talk about the debt ceiling, you want to talk about how the Republicans sold all their Tea Party people out, we can talk about that. I have opinions.
The world's hottest chili pepper.
The world's hot. Why would we want to talk about the world's hottest chili pepper? There's a new world's hottest chili pepper?
I sent you the story.
Oh, I didn't see it. What'd you send it to me on? I just was in Yahoo and it wasn't there.
I just sent it to you.
Oh, you just sent it to me now. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's called...
Let me find it here. See, now there's going to be a chili pepper race. We used to have the nuclear race. Now it's the chili pepper race. Yeah. New chili pepper crowned world's hottest. Fighting fire with more fire. And a WWF-worthy name. World Wildlife Fund? It's not even the WWF anymore. There's a new champ holding the title of world's hottest chili pepper. As you may remember, in December, the Lookout reported on the Naga Viper and its initiation as the chili pepper with the most heat. But now there's a hotter ticket in town, the Trinidad Scorpion Butch Tea. Who comes up with these names? The Trinidad Scorpion Butch Tea. It outdistances the Naga Viper, which is on the Scoville scale, which rates spice power by tracking the presence of a chemical compound in the chilies. The it's Australian, that's why. Everything from Australia is intense. The Australian Butch tea weighs about 1.46 million heat units on a scale, while the British Naga Viper is 1.38 million for comparison. So it's like just a few points hotter, where the average jalapeno is only 5,000. So there's something for you guys to look for, the Trinidad Scorpion Butch tea.
It's Australian.
It's Australian for halt. This is great. Too bad we can't play this video. somebody commented in here, eating one of these chili peppers won't make you a tough guy. Pooping one out will. Yeah. Yeah, that's always usually the worst thing. Speaking of that, I think at this year's conference we're going to have a chili cook-off, and we're going to grow ghost chili peppers, so, which is now third on the list. They used to be the hottest at like 1.2 million. Yeah, we need to do those seedlings and get the chili peppers growing. So you guys might want to get some of these Australian, the Trinidad. I like, they have the word the in the name, the Trinidad Scorpion Butch Tea. We just got to go to our Australian contacts and say, hey, can you get me that butch pepper? Anything with the word butch in it kind of makes me wonder. Hello, Crystal, I see you're there. I'm on the air, so I won't type back. I'll say hello on the air. Thank you for listening. Let's see, what else we got here? Thank you for sending me that, Miss Stacy.
You're welcome.
I can't believe chili peppers are, or there's a chili pepper raisin. Huh? What?
Bug.
Where do you see? No, that's a booger flicked on the wall. Right there?
There's something moving.
Where?
Behind you.
There's something moving behind me. Where? Get
it's
up and point.
Now.
Oh, great. Lou points behind me and says there's something moving behind you and it's gone now.
Wait.
You should jump up and kill it. Haven't I trained you? What if it was a wampus or something?
Monster.
A monster. You don't point behind me when I'm on the radio and go, there's something behind you. Oh, man. Lou, I'm going to wait till you fall asleep, and then I'm going to grind you into a fine powder. He's just sticking his tongue out at me. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I sent out the notice today for our Code 20 training for next month. Actually, it was funny today. I'm sitting on the side of the road talking to a couple other weed whackers, and they asked if there's any new training coming up, and I'm talking about Larry Wick and all that. And the phone rings, and it's Larry Wick. He's getting his plane tickets ready. So that's going to be May 20th through the 22nd here at the church at Cahuilla. It's going to be a combined Code 20 TCAC militia training. We're going to start at 9 a.m. on the 20th, so you got to get here Thursday night if you're coming in late. Now, that's been the biggest thing. People are starting to say, well, it's so far away. Come and camp. Everybody's asking me, Dutch, what do I do for bug out? How do I bug out? Now he's pointing to it again. What is it?
Just kill the dang thing.
Yep, that's a termite. Kill it. Here, swish it with this. Cut its head off. So you got to get here on the Thursday evening before so that you can be ready for class. Because even if you leave San Francisco at 4 in the morning, do you really want to go to a class at 9 in the morning, 5 hours later? No, get here the night before. Test your bug-out gear. Test your bug-out plan. You two knock it off. I'm going to send you in the next room into isolation, the soundproof room, grandma's room. But see, and now you made me lose my train of thought. Okay, that's it. You guys have to do the show from now on.
Okay.
I thought so. Lee's trying to kill a termite with a pair of scissors behind me. I wish we had video. He's stabbing at it with scissors. I don't know if that's going to be in the Larry Wick class, Lou, but you definitely need to work on your termite killing abilities. That was, at least he didn't try to shoot it. That would have been bad. So you can camp on the grounds here. There is a trailer available that's going to have, it's got three beds in it, shower, bathrooms, stove for cooking, but that's first come, first serve, folks. I know our GIs are probably going to take that, but I'm pretty sure they'll let you sleep on the floor. It'll be like a big GI sleepover. You can get your sleeping bag, sleep on, there's a couple couches in there. There's a couch with a fold-out bed in the church, but it's first come, first serve. So if you get your family here Thursday night, set up your tent and everything, you know, you can do whatever you want. We're going to open the church for this training. You can use the kitchen. What? You really want someone to stay with us again after what happened last time?
It was fun.
Some of the stuff fell on them, and it took hours to save them.
Uh-huh.
Stacy's cleaning up our house so people can stay with us. Those of you that have kids, So we've got a few teenage girls that aren't going to be taking the class. Their brothers are. And they'll be taught this stuff or dragged around by their hair trying to defend against. I'm just kidding. But for a donation to the young women, depending on how many kids we get, they'd be willing to occupy your little bundles of joy by taking them to the park. We have a park on premises. We have a huge children's Christian video library that, you know, all kinds of wholesome stuff, crafts, all things like that. I know it's tough to keep kids, you know, for 2.5 days occupied, but they'll do it and just kick down a few FRNs to these girls, and it'll be good. You have to bring your own food. We're not going to feed anybody. Stacy's going to be too busy in the class to go get food. We noticed that last time she was having to run off and get food. She missed a lot of the class and, you know, her cleanup and everything, but she wouldn't share the duties. I saw people asking you if you needed help and you wanted to suffer. Next time, ask for help, or if people offer it, let them do it. People have a giving heart, and let them help. But I'd like to be micromanaging of my burrito cleanup. So what we'll do is we'll break for lunch and eat in the chow hall, and we'll probably watch videos. But Saturday night, if you guys are not too tired from learning these techniques, we'll all pitch in, get a couple pizzas, you know, take-and-bake pizzas from Sierra Subs, which is up here, a great little restaurant, and we'll get some movies out. We'll watch Sergeant York or Chariots of Fire. I don't know. We'll find something the kids will like, too. Maybe we could watch some bad sci-fi with giant spiders. I'll have to leave the room when the spiders come out. And, you know, we could do that Saturday night, and then everybody get to bed early and do something, you know, get up early Sunday. We're going to do the training on Sunday. We're going to break for church. And then get back to the training as needed. And then those of you that need to get out of Dodge, you know, we'll probably be done early afternoon on Sunday. It's really 2.5 days. Oh, wait, I'm not in the chat room right now. Let's see, I talked about that. Sleeping bags. If you have an RV, we have ample space for an RV. We don't have hookups, per se. If you park next to our house, you can run an extension cord. You can't run your water in the ditch or anything. That'd be kind of gross, your black water into our stream or something. But you can hook a hose up to our well, things like that. The well stopped working last night in the middle of the night again. I need to find out why. I don't know if they put the part in. That was kind of weird that happened. But
yeah,
there was like zero water last night before we went to bed. So we got up this morning. Thank God there was water back after we went weed whacking. We were all covered with chlorophyll. We needed a shower before we came on the air. Chlorophyll. Let's adopt a girl named Chlorophyll. Middle name Phil. First name Chlora. Chlorophyll Jones. Hey, I like that. It's like Basketball Jones, but more earthy. I found out today in the city of the thriving metropolis that is Three Rivers, we had a weed eater break, and I took it to the small engine repair and heard the bad news, but I found out that we've got this great Armenian guy. What's his name again?
Rod
Simonian, who started his own alternative to the Chamber of Commerce. The current Chamber of Commerce, and you've heard my stories about the city the town committee and everything, they're extremely liberal, and we go and fight with them. So he went out and started his own Chamber of Commerce. Right now it's just him, but we're going to take Stacy's business and join. I'm going to talk the pastor into joining. When Steve moves he's got like two or three businesses up here because he's looking for a house. We'll have him join it, and we'll start to be a force to be reckoned with. But here's the reason he did it. There is a historical old wooden sign, just as you're coming into town at the swimming hole there called Slick Rock. It says, Welcome to Three Rivers. It was put together by an old woodworking artist. There's some wrought iron on there. It's an old sign. It's 50 years old. Been there forever, long before all these hippie scumminess came in and moved into town. Well, now they want to tear that sign down, put it in the museum, and put up a nice new shiny sign that better reflects the artistic atmosphere of the community. Because this is an old cowboy-looking sign. Because that's what was here before the hippies came in the 60s and 70s. They want an artsy-fartsy sign that reflects the artisan community. Well, what they don't know is that this guy, Rod Simonian, for some reason inherited the sign and the property that it's on. So he stood up in the meeting, I wish I'd have been there, and said, you touch my sign, I'm calling the sheriff and having you arrested. That sign stays. And he goes, you guys can make another sign, put it somewhere else. But that is a historical representation of what this town used to be like, because he grew up here. There's a lot of Armenians here. During the Armenian Holocaust at the turn of the last century, 1900s, they fled coming to this community because there's a lot of dairies down in the valley and things like that. So he's the offspring of that. Very aware of the Armenian Holocaust, very big on militias, the Armenian people. They're Christians. The Armenian Christian view is a little different than what we have, but they're still good people. So we're going to start our own, he said, I love you guys at the church. I love what you guys are doing. I was telling him about the Code 20 training and that. He goes, I love having revolutionaries down the road. We're about 3 miles away from him. And he says, I think it's great. And I said, well, you know what? We need to support you in this Historical Preservation Act. And so next week we're going to join. I said, so, okay, with your new Chamber of Commerce that you've started, he's associated with the regular chamber, national chamber, all that. They recognize him. He did it about 3 years ago in paperwork just to start his own, and now it's coming to fruition that he needed it. And I said, are there any dues? He goes, absolutely no dues. What about meetings? He goes, we'll meet here in my driveway. And I'm like, I love it. No foo-foo, no Robert's rules of order or any of that garbage. But we'll just be a thorn in the side of all the liberal hippies that have taken over the Chamber of Commerce and the town hall. I don't know, what do they call that? The committee? What do they call themselves? I don't know, it must be Federation of Nazis or something they call themselves. But here's some of the things that they've been doing. There's a great old guy that has his own, I mean, the gas station has been there since like the 30s. And he's got three bays for repairs. He's been there long before these hippies were even born. He's in his 80s, late 80s. They shut him down because of oil dripping, because he was working on his vehicles with the doors open and the tourists driving by on the main road could see it. Right now, there's nothing there. They put him out of business. They ruined the legacy for his children. He had children that were going to come and take this over. Our pastor worked there as a teenager, pumping gas and changing oil and fixing alternators, and now it's done. They shut it down. So now we only have two chain gas stations in town, the Shell and the Chevron. And they'll probably go after them. But this guy, if they caught him working on a car in his parking lot, they called county code compliance and got him fined. They didn't like the way his building looked all rustic and old. They want it looking artsy-fartsy and faggoty is what they want. They want him to have wind chimes and bright colors and maybe a tie-dye garage door. But it's old wood it's a beautiful old gas station. In fact, even before I knew about this, I was having dreams that he gave it to us and we turned it into a surplus store. But unfortunately, they've reported him so many times, it's going to be abated out of existence. They made him take all of his cars away. He had like Edsels and Studebakers and cars I can't even remember that he had that were worth a fortune just in their parts. And they made him get rid of them because they didn't like the way it looked. These same people came up with a rule that all roofs along the corridor of the 198, they can't have like just sheet metal roofs. They have to be painted pleasant colors. Your doors on your business, your sign. This is what they're doing. They're over-regulating themselves. And we're not even a real town yet. So we found out about this alternative chamber of the Chamber of Commies. So we're gonna make our own Chamber of Commerce with this guy, and the pastor's in on it because he has his own tree trimming business. We're gonna use Stacy's surplus, and who knows? Maybe we'll even have Code 20 join. But I just can't believe the Nazi stuff that these little towns do. These little Hitlers and a little fish in a little pond trying to be big fish, right? I'm gonna talk more about it because I'm gonna tell you some of the horrible stories living in cities, the things I've heard people do, and maybe you guys will call in. We'll be right back.
Well, it's Friday night and he's pulling them over left and right. He sort of looks like Darth Vader with his gun and his radar and his flashing blue light. He drives a government squad car full of all kinds of hardware to handle the angry mob. And with his badge on his shoulder and his gun in his holster, he'll tell you he's just doing his job. Watch out for martial law. When he's out there watching after you, if he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns the muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate light.
when you're round in the corner, and he's right there behind you in your rearview mirror. Is he a foe or a friend, or this public defender we see on our TV screens? Or just some vain, reckless power gaining strength every hour, a threat to the American dream? Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, collector of the revenue. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun. Time when it seemed like he was part of the dream, when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day, because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Go-karts real fast like a maniac. Not with you or Lou in front of me. You're listening to Stronghold Radio, coming to you from somewhere in Central California. Not normally not in Cancun as we normally are. We're on the road. We're doing what we need to do. Tyranny. Stick around. At the top of the hour, we're going to hear Steve Klein talking about how he stood between Department of Justice stooges today and one of our soldiers from Code 20. And how he kept him from being shot and killed. I mean, he did have to turn over his weapons, but the family's alive today. Interesting story. Code 20 on Tuesday with Commander Steve Klein. Don't go anywhere. That's it. It just fades like that. Tyranny comes in many forms. It could be the Department of Justice banging on the door in the middle of the day, threatening to kill your wife. Or it could be a homeowners association, a small community of concerned citizens. It could be the Chamber of Commerce. And that's what I want to talk about for the next 20 minutes or so. You can call in with your stories if you like. 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. And the phone is hooked up. And I don't even know if we should test it. It's like, this phone is like perfect. I'm so glad we got this little phone here. It's been a great blessing. I live in a community in Southern California. It was called Cooley Ranch. Actually, Cooley Ranch is making fun of the Chinese. It was a Chinese settlement during the 1800s. They'll probably make them change the name, but it was Cooley Ranch. And there was an older part of the development that was built to much higher standards. And then when the economy went bad in the early 90s, or whenever it was, they started downsizing the size of the houses, the footprints, and the style of the houses. Well, this very angry homeowners association led by a little, I believe he was a war criminal, from probably Poland or something, and he got them to enforce a buffer zone, you know, a Lebensraum, as it were. Those of you that understand the Nazi stuff will laugh at that. He said any houses within, I think it was 300 feet of the property of the original development had to comply with a certain percentage of the covenants and codes and rules. And one of those was that your door had to be a certain color. There had to be a random representation of color of every front door on the street. Well, I know when we put our, I was right across the street from the old development. It was like the new phase, and we moved in. And I go out there one day, and this guy's got a 300-foot rope, and he's measuring it to my yard. Because my front door was this lovely aquamarine. I didn't pick it. It's just the door they stuck on there, and I could care less what the door looked like. He didn't like it, and he was only like 6 inches from it. So he went to the homeowners association and argued that we had to paint our door, even though it was just 6 inches. It was still within the realm. This guy, he went, and that's where it began, so I knew we had trouble with this guy. And one time I had my Suzuki Samurai in the driveway. I wanted to get the axles bulletproofed. Not bulletproof like you could shoot them, but in a four-wheel drive term where they get them gusseted, some skid plates welded on them. So I took them off. I took off the axles, pulled out the axle shaft, stuck those in the garage. So it was up on jack stands. I even rolled the tires in so it would look nice. And for 2 weeks, I sent my axles away where they could get cleaned and welded and all this. This guy went nuts because you're not supposed to have a non-operational vehicle in your driveway. It has to be in your garage. They had a rule that your antenna could not be visible on the street. And this guy would always come over and harass me. And here's what I did. Every time they would send me a little notice, I said, I do not recognize your authority. Your development was not my development. I didn't agree to those things. I wasn't informed of it when I purchased that there would be these certain covenants and codes. If I'm violating a city code, show me where I'm violating it. And I said, otherwise, if you step on my property, I'm going to throw you down and put you in cuffs and arrest you for trespassing. I legally noticed him at his work and at his house and at his place of worship. And let's just say it starts with an S and stops with a Gog. This guy was a weaselly little puke, little Zionist. And he would do this stuff constantly to me. If my grass wasn't cut to his liking, I would get a letter from the homeowners association. And I would usually say, well, if you guys want to come on my lawn, do it. And I said, but watch out for the landmines. I'd always put these little things in there. Today, we'd never get away with it post-Patriot Act. They'd have called the cops. What's funny is that most of the newer neighborhood were police, fire, and veterans because we got discounts. So I, like, covered all three of them. So I got, like, a huge discount for my house. That was another thing that made him mad. You know, his property was worth X and ours was worth Y. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. But it was funny because one time his dog got out and pooped in my yard, so I took his dog hostage. And he's putting up signs. I treated the dog nicely. It was in the backyard, and I treated it nicely. And for like a month, I kept his dog and didn't tell him where it was at and everything. And then what I did is it was a skinny little like Pomeranian. I fed it like raw meat till it got really, really super fat. For like a month. It just ballooned up, and then I let it go again. So it was funny. So it comes back twice the size as it was. I don't think he ever figured out what was going on. But I took paint, and I painted the dog's nose bright pink. So he gets back this big, fat dog that he's not sure is his, and it's got a pink nose, and it's running around the house yipping at him. But I used to mess with the guy like that all the time. Anytime he had a party, and if they parked a car in front of my house, I'd have the car towed. I'd say, no, that's in front of my house. And it was funny. One time he had a party, and somebody parked like an inch into my driveway, so I had his car towed. Another time, somebody parked in front of my driveway like a foot, so I used the winch on my 4x4 and dragged them back. And it just made this screeching sound. They all come out. I said, you're blocking my driveway. I can't get in. But these little Nazis, these little Hitlers that are out there in these different associations, I mean, it's terrible. Incredible, incredible stuff. We've got a lady, and I've told the story before. Our shooting range has been there since 1963. She moves in 7 years ago, and now she wants us to shut it down. Stacy has this great, we were talking about this pig farm. A bunch of Muslims moved next to this pig farm in Texas.
I think.
And they were trying to shut down the pig farm now because of the stink and everything. So what's he do? He sets up a pig racing arena, and now he holds pig races every weekend. I love that kind of stuff. That's how we have to fight back.
They knew
when he moved there. El Mirage Dry Lake Bed in the up high desert down in Southern California has been a land speed place. You can go out there and you can drive 300 miles an hour. Nothing around it except a prison, right? Suddenly, these idiots from L.A. start building houses out there. Immediately, we don't like the sound of these cars because the cars go super fast. They're loud. We don't like the cars going 300 miles an hour. So immediately they say, well, you can't go over 225. You can only race during certain times of the week. You can't hit a certain decibel. Well, it's still there, but these idiots move into our communities, and that's what happened in Three Rivers. You know, granted, I've only been there 5 years, but I don't go there trying to change it. I go there because I thought it was a rustic community and I wouldn't be bothered by my hippie liberal neighbors. I should have done a little more research, but I'm still glad I'm there. I mean, God wanted me there. But that's the problem. They do these things and they try and make you, what's the word, bend to their will.
Yeah, bow down to them.
They want you to bow down to them. There's nothing worse, in my mind, than a homeowners association meeting. The town hall meetings that we go to are almost as bad. They come in, and these hippies, these people move up from L.A., and then they complain, oh, the streets are so dark, we need street lights. What is it going to take to get street lights? I'm like, are you kidding me? You left the city to come up into a rural, urban, it's an urban interface, it's not really rural, but it's in the mountains, it's in the foothills, and you want to put in street lights. Are you kidding? And, you know, oh, we need speed limits. So now, I don't know if you drive around Three Rivers right now, you'll see all these traffic monitor markers and the little hoses you drive across. What they don't realize is whatever the average speed limit is, they'll make it that. So every time we go over and we go like 75 miles an hour, it raises the average. I've seen communities when I've worked for public service in the city of Moreno Valley, they had this main street. They said, everybody's driving 55, and it should be a 40. We want it to be 35. They got the survey in, and they raised it to 55. So these idiots that were clamoring about it got their, you know, they'll be careful what you ask for because they'll come out and do the survey. They want stoplights put in our community. Now, if you've ever seen our community from the air, there's no place that needs to be a stoplight. It's one road. It's literally one road for commercial purposes and then little winding roads for the residential areas. They want cameras put in. They want cameras put in at stop signs in our community. There's this little, I can't remember, it's called the Town Hall Association or something like that. Yeah, Hugh's saying they do that to dairy farms all the time. They put a dairy farm that's been there for multi-generation. They put a housing development next to it. It happened in Chino, California. And then they get the dairy farm shut down because of the odor. I don't understand the human mentality here. We've got to start fighting back. We've got to, in fact, I think that next people need to pay attention. Planning commission meetings at the county and city level, you've got to go to them. When they say, hey, we're going to put a strip mall out here in the middle of nowhere, you need to go, no. We moved out here for a rural environment. Now you want to put a strip mall? Yeah, but we need an AM/PM. No, I moved out here so that I would get peace and quiet. I don't want an AM/PM. Because once they put in this community, they do a rezoning. They do a rezoning. Anytime you see something in your paper that says hearing for a rezoning, you better show up. Because next thing you know, they're going to be putting something next to your house that's going to try and take control of it. It's in the reverse. It's in the reverse. And, you know, there's certain things that, you know, you don't mind having there. They want to put a regional park, something like that. But you've got to pay attention. And we've got to hit back just as hard as they shut things down. Shooting ranges in California are becoming a thing of the past because people are developing housing around them. Redlands, California, the Sportsman's Club down there in the Santa Ana River bottom. People moved like 4 miles away. They built these bedroom community houses, just cracker boxes you can run across the roofs, selling them for $400,000 so the idiots in L.A. can retreat, you know, do a three-hour commute and come home and not talk to their wife or kids. It was 3, 4, 5 miles away. They shut down the shooting, not the whole shooting range, but we couldn't do double taps anymore. We couldn't do anything large caliber. It limited the hours we could shoot. We had to put special baffles on the shooting range. It was ridiculous. And the shooting range has been there since before the 1900s. We've got to fight this every single time. And it's funny because you see the stuff like, I can't remember where it was over the weekend, I read in the paper, somewhere, Utah. Utah has discovered that they have oil-rich, tar-ridden sand, much like Saudi Arabia does. Well, we need to get off of foreign oil, so this Canadian company says, hey, we're used to drilling for that one. I'd rather it be an American company, but no American company is going to touch it because they'll be screamed at by environmentalists. But Utah wants to go for this tar oil and develop it now that it's, you know, $120 a barrel. It's feasible for them to do it. But already, before they even think about it, they're hit with sanctions, so they can't do it. So whenever environmentalists want to open a new park or set aside some property for an easement, for a buffer zone between two communities, you need to show up at these meetings and say, no, file lawsuits. Hinder them. When they're having a protest because they want to shut down some historically established business because they don't like the way it fits into the community, you need to fight it. City of Moreno Valley, I say that over and over again because I work for the city there. They wouldn't let you build a new business on the main strip unless you adopted what was known as Mediterranean architecture. I don't care what it was. It had to fit a Mediterranean architecture because they had a overall motif. Anyone that knows Moreno Valley knows it's Compton West, or Compton East, rather, excuse me. It's a hole. It's a crappy place to live. And they're more concerned with what your stucco looks like than the quality of life, really, in policing the streets and getting rid of crime. That's what politicians do. They focus on these stupid things. I had something else in my head. Oh, in Riverside County, there's a little lawyer. Her name is Ruthie Goldcorn. And whenever she finds out that a new business is coming into town, I don't care if it's a Christmas tree lot or a service station or a restaurant. She's a lawyer. Her and her husband are lawyers. They pull up in their little Ford brown and white Bronco. At least it used to be. With the money she's making, it's probably better. They get her wheelchair out. She gets in her wheelchair, and she tries to get into your business. She takes a fish scale out, puts it on the door, and pulls on it. If your door isn't set to the proper weight, she sues you. Now, I saw her come into planning commission meetings, city council meetings, filing lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. Well, I took it upon myself. I said, you know what? This lady really angers me. I'm going to find something about her and expose it. So I just started following her around. Well, one day I see her at the mall shopping. Nothing weird about that, except she wasn't in a wheelchair. She was walking. So I follow her for 2 weeks, videotaping her, getting out of her wheelchair, picking up her kids. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get, oh, man, I'm going to burn her. I go to the city attorney for the city of Moreno Valley and for the city of Riverside. And I'll tell you some of the lawsuits that she's brought and won. And I said, look at this. I've got this video. And they go, she never claimed to be handicapped. Every lawsuit she filed said this: when I'm in this wheelchair, I cannot access your business equally to other non-wheelchair-bound citizens. When I'm in this wheelchair, I can't buy a Christmas tree at the Christmas tree lot because of mud and gravel. You need to put in a sidewalk for your Christmas tree lot. And she kept winning and winning and winning until she went up against a little guy named Dwayne Roberts. Now, you don't know who that name is unless you're from Riverside County. Let's just say Mr. Dwayne Roberts is a investment specialist who invests in real estate, and he's a little bit, you know, he's a little bit like this. You don't want to mess with the guy. One time in a television piece that I was freelancing on, I misspelled the name Dwayne. I got a visit from a guy named Lefty saying, Mr. Roberts would appreciate it if you don't misspell his name again. Capiche? Well, he has a little thing down there in the city of Riverside known as the Mission Inn. It was an inn that was made in the 1920s. It was a hot spot for actors and celebrities, and they'd go there to relax. It's got spas in it right in the middle of town. Beautiful building. Very haunted, I'm told. Beautiful, beautiful building. Spanish style. They copied like the missions. It's not a mission. That's a misnomer. It's been in tons of movies, all kinds of stuff. Well, they have Dwayne's Steakhouse in there, named after Dwayne Roberts. And he's got these big, like, Viking-looking benches. And anyway, but it was built in the 1920s. It's a national historical site. She tries to get her wheelchair in the front door. Can't. There's steps. Tries to get it in a side entrance. Can't. So what they do is they get some little illegal alien busboy to wheel her around and take her through the kitchen. Oh, my. You'd think they'd stuck her in the oven and tried to, you know, centered to her ancestors. She brought all these lawsuits for defamation, humility, all this stuff. Well, she made the mistake after going after this mogul dude. He came in with just a ton of lawyers, and in the end, she ended up paying him. And because, one, she couldn't win. It was a National Historical Site. That's something he had in his favor. But they're like, we made every effort. You've got these people out there. They are self-proclaimed human irritants. That's all they do. Well, it seems to me that we've gotten a cluster of them here. You know, you have cancer clusters and that kind of stuff. We have a cluster of idiots here at Three Rivers, and we've got to fight them. We're trying to build a Christian covenant community across the river in Kauai, and we have a few there. We have a few sodomites and stuff like that, but we're making them aware that we're bringing people in. We're bringing people in, and they can go live somewhere else, or they can shut up and stay in their houses. You know, we're not going to be brutes about it. But in your community, you've got to fight it in your community. If they suddenly come up with some law that you can't have yellow flowers in your front of your house, they do stuff like that. They do stuff like that all the time. And what's funny is the pastor was talking to one of the socialists in the neighborhood, and they were talking about the town meetings. He says, yeah, I think it's great, this is what the pastor said, that because of the budget, you guys don't have the money to enforce the things that you want up here. And this is what the socialist said. He goes, yeah, I think we pushed it too far. We used up too much money. We made people too angry. This is what a major socialist in the community, one of the leading socialists in the county, said. You know, I don't know if we'll ever get it back because people are just too angry at us. So it's working. We go to the meetings and we stand up and say stuff and we challenge them. And like when the school board says, oh, we have to have another $50 per parcel or we won't be able to take trips to the San Francisco Bay Area. We're like, good, then you don't need to take your kids to the Bay Area. You want to go to the Bay Area? Make the kids pay for it. Why does it have to come out of our property taxes? And just because you don't own property doesn't mean you're not paying it, because if you're a renter, the owner just passes it on to you. They're always asking for money in our little town hall meetings. Oh, we need this, we need that. Now they want to put in a public beach somewhere so that the people will stop trespassing. They're not looking at the problem right. Stop the people from trespassing. Don't give them some place to go where they can all poop and make it messy. They're not supposed to trespass, so instead of rewarding them by giving them a public beach that we have to pay for as citizens by paying a higher tax, our community pays a high tourism tax. It's called the bed tax, the tourism tax. Our food is more expensive in our community because we're a tourism site. That money doesn't stay here. It goes to the rest of the county. Our little community pays for all the roads for the rest of the county, even for Visalia and stuff. Well, county stuff, not in the city, but other things around Tulare. Unfair, unjust governance starts in your own community. It starts in your own neighborhood. It starts with that nosy, what's it, Mrs. Crabtree neighbor from Bewitched that would always look at the nosy Nellies. We've got to stop these people. We've got to single them out, confront them, and just destroy them. We had one at our church. The family was beautiful. The woman was disgusting. She is in everybody's business, and finally she was confronted and she left. You've got to do that in your communities. We've got to stop them. Angry people start their crap because they are really full of cancer of the soul, I see Freedom says. You know what? That's right. That's what it is, their soul. It's like on our, when you come into Kauai, back in the 90s, the pastor and a bunch of people on our, it says, welcome to Kauai, elevation 978 feet, population 480 souls. S-O-U-L-S. And people are complaining. I told one guy, I said, hey, if you don't have a soul, that's fine with me. Why are you mad about it? If you don't have a soul, who cares? You know, and they get all mad about that. And they're like, oh, you can't do it. And actually, I don't know if it's because the population actually went down or because people aren't volunteering the information to the census people, but we actually lost people, and that's good because we're losing the hippies and stuff because they can't afford their homes right now. There's a home right by the church. It's the post office that's like a quarter of a mile away. This house has changed hands three times since I've lived here, and it's now $280,000 upside down. The people that have it now owe $280,000 more than it's appraised at. Good. Let them walk away, and you know what? We'll put Patriots in that home when it's sold at auction. That's why we do this show. We get a bunch of people like you and me, and we start standing up. We'll take over Kauai, then we'll take over Three Rivers. It's all Hollywood actors and producers and writers and San Francisco and LA types that have their second homes up there. They're not here that much. When they are, or they retire here, they make a stink for us. But if we confront them, they don't have the money anymore. They really don't have the votes in Tulare County because it's not a liberal county. let's win one little community at a time. And if you can't make it here, do it in your community. If you can't make it here, wow, it's already, I can't really realize what time it was. If you can't make it here, take the things that we're doing and extend it to where you live. I'm telling you, people don't realize that the strongest link in the chain of governance is the local authority. And you know who the local authority is? You and me. You and me. We've established our own government already in Kauai. We have an ecclesiastical government there. Now, that's not what everybody should be under. We submit to it, and it's going to grow. It's going to grow. And then it's like the mining businesses that had there in the 1800s, you know, 1849. The first governments in California were what? Mining districts. Government is where you make it. And if we don't surrender to unjust authority and do surrender and participate in just authority, guess what's going to start happening in this community that we call America? It may get better. I don't know if it's supposed to or not. I don't know what's God's will. It's just like Warland, who's trying to get his show up. You know, voices from Jefferson, the territory of Jefferson. Those people have got it figured out, and they're working for it. What did Tungle tell us? The whole show will be archived, right? I'm going to the farmer's market at 6 o'clock and really don't... Yeah, the whole show will be archived either here on Ustream, and if we're fortunate, Olima's there, and she will get it up. Olima, speaking of, I'm glad you mentioned that. Olima is a huge benefit. She sent me the stats, and like some of the shows, over 800 people download them, the archives. That's important to me, because I know more people are hearing them, and if they're sharing them and posting them and doing that stuff. So yes, we're on DSL. We probably won't have a problem, but right now it looks like we're going to be archived. Twinkle Toes, going to the who decided to go to the farmer's market. We don't have a good farmer's market where we are. That's another thing. Maybe we should do. We should get all of the organic farms and stuff in the area to start doing a farmer's market, like on a Thursday night or something. I could broadcast live from there. We'll do it somewhere where there's Wi-Fi, and that'd be kind of cool. We need to have a farmer's market in Three Rivers. Now, you don't have the town council organizing stuff like that. No, they're too worried about the color of people's shutters or the signs that the dentist puts out, you know, his little shingle, how big it is. You know, and they don't really even have the authority to. Stacy's saying it's money. Well, we're fortunate where we're at. They don't really have any authority to fine, but they will turn you into the county, guys. Yeah. They will turn you in, and they will force a vote to get an initiative on to raise taxes. Fortunately, we keep shooting it down. Oh, I love it. That's one benefit here. I think we need a 2/3 vote to get new taxes, so it'll be good. It'll be really good. That we keep getting the votes to defeat these taxes. I say it was like the thing about the beach. If the tourists want to come up and use a beach, charge them for it. They already do it at Slick Rock. I think it's $5 a carload per day. Yeah, because I go swimming in the river by our house. I don't go down to the tourism spot. I don't violate people's property rights and trespass. I go to the bridge and jump in the river. I go to the pastor's house, jump in the river. I go to a neighbor who gives me permission. Stick around. Code 20 is coming up. Steve Klein is going to tell the story about what happened just a few hours ago when the Department of Justice came to a soldier's house and took his guns and threatened his wife, and what Steve and about 30 other people or so had to do to protect that soldier. We'll be back after the break.
Stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder and bolder they grow as they go to the fore. Then there's nothing in the world can halt or mar a plan. Together, man, oh man.
when the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Not for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
Dutch Jones, Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Stronghold Radio, coming to you from Central California. We are not at Camp Cahuilla at this time. We are on the road, reaching out, touching hearts and minds, and trying to change the world one angry young man at a time. And it is Thursday. Welcome to our Liberty Tree Radio listeners. We're glad to have you here, and we're glad that we're having Code 20 here in the second hour, because we've got an important story to share with you. I don't know if it'll be in the media tomorrow, but it should be. But on the line is Steve Klein. Steve, are you there?
Hey, great to be on the show, Tuesday Code 20. I look forward to it all week long. It was great being with you and with Stacy and with Lou and the rest of the gang up there. We had about 30 people out there. We got 30 volunteers for the October conference.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're looking good. Couple of things I want to plug real quick. I got five things to talk about. One, Larry Wood training. Number two, the October conference. And I'm going to title that The 4 Days in Naples. Crazy movie. Everybody should see it. It's all about guerrilla warfare. And this is going to sound funny to everybody, but when you watch the movie, you can get it from Netflix, or we can get a copy and send us a donation. For real, they use toilets to
wow.
stop the Third Reich. I will talk about that later in the show. Perfect guerrilla warfare. When people say, I don't have any weapons, and you watch this movie, you will be laughing hysterically when you watch the Italians, how they overwhelm about a company of Nazi infantry, German infantry, in Italy. It's called The 4 Days in Naples. I'm sure there's YouTube clips. It is awesome. Guerrilla Code 20 training. So we got Larry Wick training, October conference. This past week, with the help of Dutch, who once again did a great job, and
Thank
my
you.
Electronics warfare officer, Lou, and the beautiful young Stacy, we got things done. We went to the third letter of SMEAC. We went from situation to mission to execution. And next time we'll do administration, command, and communication. We'll talk a little bit more about execution. Then, let's see here. All right, and the fourth thing is we had an actual incident today that could have turned into a shootout murder for real, but we were able to work through it, and that's why God appointed elders,
Amen.
old men like myself. Now, this is interesting. I didn't do this on myself. Fortunately, I had Dutch on the phone. He gave me some good ideas. I called my attorney. He gave me some ideas. What happened was one of our veterans, one of our young men back from Iraq, who is a reserve, he didn't understand what was going on 3 or 4 years ago when he came back from Iraq. I guess now, according to my son and all the soldiers coming back, you have to go through psychiatric evaluation. And the kid went through the evaluation, and the doctor at the end handed him a piece of paper that said, cleared for duty, A-OK, but evidently inside of his medical record book, he, or on the computer, he checked the wrong block,
right.
which said could be a danger to himself and other people. Well, this is interesting. This is 3 years ago. So today, Department of Justice, four black uniformed officers, fully loaded. They look kind of like SWAT team without the helmet. They come banging on the door like the big bad wolf, huffing and puffing, scare the hell out of the poor wife. She has no idea what's going on. Three children in the house. The oldest kid's only 9 years old. So the wife, she says, no, no, you can't come in the house. You don't have a search warrant. No, you can't come in the house. Right. No. So the officers tried to, you know, browbeat her, et cetera, and get in the house. She was smart enough. She wouldn't open the door. She called her husband. Her husband, who works right next to the brigade commander, so everybody in the whole unit now is alerted. There's something going on with this sergeant. So then Aaron Rasmussen calls me, and so we're working as a team. We're doing Code 20.
Right.
We're doing team. So they called me, and as God would have it, Dutch Jones calls in, gives me a little advice, told me make sure you got the videos. Of course, I'm driving, you know, from work. I'm not carrying a video camera. I'm an old man. I don't have a telephone with a video. So I called my attorney. My attorney, same thing. So I got a hold of the sergeant. Yeah, he's got his phone as a video. His wife's got the video. So by the we get there, and I'm calming this kid down. Kid's 40 years old. He's mad. Yeah, he's mad. He's seeing blood. He wants to kill these guys. So we work through it, and eldership. One thing I learned from Ho Chi Minh, if you can't win today, get the hell out of there.
Right.
You can always come back and fight another time. So I talked to Dutch, and I talked to the attorney, and the three of us decided wisdom, in accordance with wisdom. In fact, if you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, and then it goes all through. Basically, it talks about Code 20. It talks about Dutch and Pastor Warren and the soldiers and the training and the attorneys and all of the things that we've done using wisdom to defeat our enemy. So we parked our cars about 300 meters away so the bad guys couldn't see us. We walked up, made sure our hands were visible, both had our driver's license in our hands, and then we worked through it, and we decided the best thing in accordance with survival and remaining so that in the days to come when this whole mess falls apart, we can come back and whack these guys.
Right.
But we made sure we had the video cameras rolling, two video cameras. Then the neighbors started coming. A lot of the neighbors, their husbands are Iraq and Afghanistan. So it was pretty funny. So these young ladies, 25 to 35, they start coming in, and they said, is it okay if we stick around? And I said, ladies, stick around, very loudly. Ladies, stick around. We want witnesses, witnesses, witnesses. We want all the witnesses we can. If you have a video camera on your phone, turn it on. And now the Department of Justice, they're turning into lambs. They said, so we worked through it, and we got receipts for the weapons. We'll get them back. We worked through it. It's a nightmare. It's a mess. But sometimes you can only do so much. You know, for example, if you're going 65 miles an hour on the freeway and somebody jumps the divider at 85 miles an hour and they hit you, you do the best you can to survive, right?
Right, right.
And Dutch, on a final note, and I've talked too much.
No, you're fine.
Dutch
keep going.
Dutch was smart enough and filled with the Spirit enough to immediately call Pastor Warren, get the prayer chain going out, because when we walked up, both of us veterans were looking at these four guys, and we got blood in our eyes, and we wanted to just jump in there and show them, look, boys, you have no idea who you're taking on. But wisdom being the better, you know,
discretion.
Discretion being the better power and part of valor. Discretion being the better part of valor. So we work through it. Now, look, this goes perfectly to Code 20. And in fact, Paul Revere ran into a very similar thing. He was actually captured the night that he was out doing, you know, the regulars are coming, et cetera. By the way, he had a team of 60 other people. They covered 700 square miles in like 8 hours.
William Dawes and the rest of them.
Exactly, but he was captured by the Brits, but he kept his cool, and he allowed them to take his pistols, he worked through it, and the British let him go, and he was able to continue doing his mission. So right now, this soldier who's part of Code 20, he's part of our training at the Church of Kauai, he is going to be a commissioned officer. He's in line to get some of the finest training available to soldiers, but he's like Joseph in Pharaoh's court. He's doing code 20 from the inside, and I called him when I said, look, Stuart, I know you're mad. Do not go there by yourself. Pull over to the side of the road. Wait till I get there. Use your brains. We'll walk up together just like Larry Wick when he does his training. We're not going for a fight. We're trying to get out of a fight. You're going to lose. They're going to arrest you, or you're going to get shot to death. You won't become an officer. You'll get a felony. So to his credit, he listened. He did everything that he was supposed to do.
Good.
Worked out perfect. And there's more to the story that I can't release, but if you come to some of our Code 20 training, I can tell you the rest of the story because it's got a big, giant silver lining on it. So thanks to Dutch for helping me, my attorney for helping me, Pastor Warren, and to Stuart Myers or Dave Myers for keeping his cool, his composure. Everything will be fine. It'll be cool.
That's great. I love that. You know, there is a biblical doctrine of deception and retreat, so there's nothing wrong with the tactics that were applied. But I have to share this. I don't know why it was. We were driving in the car, and I just had this overwhelming feeling that I had to call you. You know,
really?
It was just like, you know, I need to call. It was funny because I go, I need to call Steve. I don't know why. You know, I can share with him the stuff about the Chamber of Commerce. It's not that big a deal, but I feel like I need to call him. And I was like, as soon as I heard the tone of your voice, I was like, something's up. So.
Yeah, I was keeping my composure. Rule number one: don't panic. So, but you could tell it was a voice that was restrained. It wasn't my normal.
Right.
Yeah, let's go have a few beers and talk about wasting the bad guys.
Now I want to talk a little bit. I don't want to flog a dead horse on this. If you're just tuning in and you missed it, you're gonna have to catch it on the replay. Department of Justice guys go to a veteran's house who's currently serving in the active reserves. And because of a paperwork foul-up, they send four thugs while he's not there. They know he's not there because they know where he's working. And they try to intimidate this man's wife and children into letting him come in. And she did the right thing. She barricaded the door, in my opinion. Because it's just like if a cop pulls a woman over, she can say, you know, I don't have the authority to submit to you. I'm under coverture of my husband. And so she did what was right. You did what was right by calming this sergeant. Well, he's going to be an officer soon. This veteran down, because that would have been what they wanted. A guy comes screaming in there at him, so they could have shot him and killed him and killed his family and gotten away with it. So there are times when there's a time to fight, but I love the story that you tell about all the other military wives coming to her aid with the cameras and turning these dirtbags into sheep. And now we need to get copies of this footage because we need to know who these people are. Just like in the movie Defiance, we need to make sure we know who these thugs are that are going out. And yeah, we can argue all day. I'm going to get calls. Oh, that was an unjust search. They should have stood their ground. When you're facing overwhelming firepower, you don't do stupid things.
Exactly.
You know, he's not in prison right now. He's not in custody. He's not dead. His family's alive. We can always loan him guns. We can get him more guns. We can't get another battle-hardened trained soldier for the cause.
That's really important.
We can't get him another wife. We can't get him new kids those kids will be gone if it had gone completely bad. But the fact of it is that private citizens knew what was going on and stood up for this guy. And I love it. I love the story. I love it when four guys, it's just like I say, when the KGB shows up in the middle of the night, if all the neighbors came out, there wouldn't be a problem. And that's what happened. And was this in Riverside County?
Yeah, it's in Riverside County. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. The thugs, I could see the look on their face when they saw the video cameras come out, and their body language and everything was, oh, darn, we wanted a shootout. They were like Mr. Macho, and we didn't give them a chance to do that. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that goes back to battle-hardened veterans. And look, I've done, 1,500 outreaches, lawsuits. I've been involved, people trying to abuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Story after story after story, and Dutch and I, those who've been on the front lines, toe-to-toe, like you go to a mosque, you take on the terrorists, you go to the abortion clinic, you take on these monsters from hell or these different groups, you go out, you get savvy, you get street smart, you start using your head, and so people who say, stand your ground, well, that's fine, but I've never seen these guys out on the front lines with me in combat or on the streets when we do the outreaches. I've never seen them.
Well,
so, if you're one of the guys saying you should have stayed your ground and fought him out, well, I'm just going to say to you right now, look, dude, you have never done it. So if you haven't done it, just shut your mouth. All right. Now, a lot of people get upset at me because they think I'm arrogant. Well,
No. Yeah, I get that all the time with me, too.
Yeah, when Jesus set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem, like a flint, I'm sure at that point in time, he was a scary-looking dude.
Yeah.
But frankly, I think that's part of the gig. We need to be scary-looking guys. And let's change gears, go to Larry Wick training. I've watched Larry Wick, the way he holds his body, his face, you know, set like a flint, but he's smart. He's using his head. He's letting the other guys make the mistakes. Now, we let the Department of Justice, they made all the mistakes. We didn't make any mistakes. We got the video. We're going to show it at our next Code 20 training in June, because all we're doing in May is Larry Wick. So go ahead and talk about that. In fact, we will have the videos there for the Larry Wick training if you want them there, and you can show them during lunchtime.
Sure, we can do that. We can do that. And what's really good about this Larry Wick stuff is he called me today, actually. I was on the side of the road trying to get two more people to sign up for the class. My phone rings. I hand it to Lou, and it's Larry Wick. I'm like, I was just talking about you. He's setting up his plane tickets and everything like that, and the other instructor that's coming in. And he's wanting to make sure that I vet all of our people. He doesn't want fighters. He doesn't want people that are going to go around and bully people.
Right.
He's not looking for idiots, you know, that are looking. Oh, and he says, if anybody says I'd rather be judged by 12 than, you know, than carried by 12, says that's not what we're looking for. We want people who are going to be wise and apply these techniques when it's called for. He goes, here in Alaska, if you take a gun away from somebody who's attacking you and you shoot him, you're going to prison.
Yep.
I love the way he put this. He goes, I've watched your videos, Dutch. I've watched the stuff you're doing on YouTube. I've listened to your Code 20 stuff. He goes, I love it. He goes, that's all great. He goes, you guys are all learning what to do when everything, you know, when you've prepared and everything's gone right. He goes, what I'm going to teach you is what to do when everything goes wrong. You can't get to your weapon. You can't get to your rifle. They catch you in the middle of the night in an alley. And everything's, you know, and you've just got to fight for your life to either get away from the situation or neutralize the enemy so you can get away. And he goes, we will teach you to kill the opponent, but only in a just Christian. And he said also, unfortunately, legal. He goes, you're in California. He goes, you start stabbing a guy 30 or 40 times. Like one of the classes we had here, we learned how. Now, Lou, in 9 seconds, how long will it take you to do the 9 strikes with the knife?
4 seconds.
In 4 seconds, Lou can cut you 9 times, but if he goes to court, they're going to go, why did you cut every major artery on the front of his body? Because I was trained to do so, Judge. There's a difference between
Pastor
combat.
Pastor Warren Campbell told me to.
Yeah, Pastor Warren Campbell. My dad said
Pastor
it was okay.
Pastor Warren Campbell.
So he goes, and I know you've got that training. He goes, when we train soldiers, we teach them to kill everything in sight. I'm going to teach you how to defend yourself in that gray area that is the weirdness of the civilian courts. It's going to be very focused on that, and I'm looking for that so much.
And that's for 3 days.
Yep.
That's for 3 days. And how much does it cost?
It's $150. It's half price. It's normally $300. Now, for those of you that are saying, we got to come a long way, you can camp here. Bring beans and weenies, and we'll have a fire cookout. We'll all pitch in and get a pizza together that Saturday night or Friday night.
Yeah, good. I may or may not be there. I'm supposed to speak to 2,000 Middle East Christians that weekend. Actually, I'm hoping that I don't go to New Jersey. I want to do the training, and absolutely, I want to be there.
I would love to have
Larry Wick, he seems like the bona fide guy. I'm really looking forward to meeting him, even though if I can't go there, he's got a trainer in Phoenix. I'm going to drive out to Phoenix and pay the $500 or $600 to hotels and stuff and do it for 3 days. I really want to become an instructor. I've been working out and using the exercises. I've lost about 16 pounds.
Oh, good.
That reminds me of Dutch. How much? You're looking a lot better, too.
I'm not weighing myself because I'm just going by how I feel. Right. Today I was on a hillside for 4 hours dodging rattlesnakes, literally, and doing brush, cutting brush, and I still feel great. I didn't have the ankle weights on. I took them off. I figured if I'm going to be up there on the hillside, I won't wear the ankle weights. But Lou and I were out there for 4 hours together, and I kept up with Lou, so I'm doing okay.
Lou is a man's man, that kid. He's like a mountain goat. So we got some new young buckaroos. We had young Joe, who's going to become a professional cage fighter. He went up that hill like a mountain goat.
Oh, I know.
So we got three young men. We had a guy from Moldova. Am I thinking that right?
Yeah, Moldova, and he wants to come become an American now.
Yeah, he came. He's from right by Kosovo and Bosnia, where all the Muslims are. And he was watching. We let him shoot the different weapons, 44 Magnum, let all the boys do, I shouldn't say boys, young men do that. So it's like everything else. The Church of Korea was really, has really gone into the pink healthy now. Young men, young ladies, we got all kinds of people coming there. Red and yellow, black and white, everything is going really good, and it's just all coming together. Code 20, I'll be speaking in Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, June 9th. We're working on Columbus, Ohio, and then the northern part of Wisconsin and the northern part of Idaho. So what Dutch Jones and Pastor Warren has started is growing in a real, real dynamic way. And this, once again, we got world-class, world-caliber trainers who are going to teach you the morality. Dutch, isn't that what we teach in warfare, the morality of warfare?
Yeah, you're not going to get that when you go to front sight. They're going to give you the legal side of it, how not to get arrested. But they're not going to talk about what God wants you to do, you know, and to do what's right.
Right, and Larry Wick's going to teach you the morality. Look, it's self-defense and get the hell out of there. And that's great. That's awesome. So Larry Wick, and that's May, what's the dates on that?
That's May 20th, 21st, and 22nd. That's a Friday, Saturday, and part of Sunday, because we understand people have to leave back to get to L.A. and to the airport and stuff.
And
you, 9 a.m. on Friday.
He's going to take the seven best or so and turn them in instructors, and you can start making money.
Yes, that's great. That's an awesome thing that we want to do. He talked to me on the phone again. He says, we need instructors. He goes, this is unique. And he goes, you know the stuff that you and I watched on the videos, like, you know, the live fire training? He says, that is nothing compared to what I'm going to show you guys. He says, it's going to blow your mind, the stuff. Hey, I got a comment here, kind of because of the lag in the transmission and stuff. Ed Kornke from Liberty Tree Radio says, we need to find out who all those lovely women came out with their phones to surround the DOJ and send them thank you cards. We need to send them thank you cards. I think that's a great
idea.
Yeah, we should work with the spouse and find out who they are and send them something. That's a great idea,
Ed. Yeah, in fact, that is a wonderful idea. We'll implement that. We were thinking about a barbecue. I like the thank you cards, maybe some flowers for them because their husbands are in Afghanistan and Iraq, and that's awesome. Ed, thank you for the comment. Okay, we're going to...
Oh, hey, that comment came from Mark Kornke. I'm sorry. I just saw Liberty Tree Radio. It was Mark Kornke. Elf is listening. Good stuff.
Wow.
Way cool.
Way cool.
Okay, the October conference is something to look forward to. We're going to have between 300, and I got to be careful what I say, we're going to have at least 300 people there. And I'm going to call my portion of what I'm doing the 4 days in Naples. Now, you can go online. I haven't looked yet, but I'm confident. The 4 days in Naples, you can find it, YouTube clips. It's English subtitles. Takes place September 1943, where the Germans are about ready to evacuate Naples. The Americans are on their way. The Americans are about 7 or 8 days away. But what happens is that the Germans then start grabbing a number of the Italian sailors and soldiers and murdering them. And at first, it's really interesting, they grab this sailor and they bring him before the whole community, probably about 700 people, and he said something disparaging, spit on a Nazi soldier or something like that. And so they make him get on his knees, and they make everybody in the whole community get on their knees, and then they shoot him through the head.
Yeah.
People are upset. People are upset. And you can see Code 20 beginning. You can just see the people are starting to think that's unjust, that's unmerciful. That's
it has to come to that, huh? It has to come to that before they wake up, some people, unfortunately.
They could have done it before, but that's a long trend of abuses. Mel Gibson and the Patriot, until he saw his son murdered and his house burned down. Then finally he said, okay, no more Mr. Nice Guy. But what happens is there's a few more episodes, and you can sense all of a sudden the Code 20, the network, the guerrilla warfare, the cell warfare, it just clicks. Boom, you can see it. It's just beautiful. Well, they have no weapons at all. And the streets in Naples are very narrow, and the buildings are 6, 7, 8 stories high.
Mm-hmm.
So the people, they're watching. Now they're worried about their sons getting murdered, their daughters getting raped. They're working together, and they send out about 70 or 80 German Nazi soldiers down this real narrow street, maybe 10 feet across, and the buildings are, golly, 8 and 9 stories high. And you can just see the look on the Italian's face. We got them. We got him! We got him! And you see all of the Italians disappear, but you can see as they run up the stairs, running up the stairs, running up the stairs, getting up to the top floor, that all of a sudden, all of the windows open up, and the people start throwing out. They're ripping the toilets out of the floor. The one guy takes, 4 or 5 guys take a bathtub, throw it out the floor. Mm. They throw a little humor. This one guy grabs the bed, he's going to throw it out the floor, and the old man grabs him and goes, "Hey, I got to sleep tonight. Leave my bed, will you please?"
Reminds me of Boondock Saints. I don't know if you've seen that movie where he drops a toilet on the Russian gangsters.
There we go. They're throwing down toilets on Russian gangsters, on these Italians, and they destroy the Italians and they chase them out. And you can see the Italians, the next scene, I'm sorry, the German Nazis, you can see them fleeing. Well, now, with code 20, like we showed the Battle of Algiers, now the people run downstairs, go out into the street, and pick up all of their weapons, and now they're shooting the hell out of the Nazis and chasing them out of Italy. And then here comes the American army at the end of the movie, like, "Wow, we took over Naples. That was a piece of cake."
Yeah. It'd been pacified by angry toilet chuckers. Yeah. Angry people with a toilet, never under.
Exactly. So if you can go on Netflix and get it, it really explains cell warfare, and it shows the evolution of how people are terrified, cowed into submission, but when they see their sons and daughters murdered before their very eyes, then all of a sudden, man is a very, very clever creature, and man given time and given desire. For example, I used to do prison fellowship ministry, and I used to walk into these electronic prisons and all of these things you couldn't get in or out. I'd say to myself, it's impossible for anybody to get out of these prisons, but then they always get out. So I figured, you know what? The guy with average intelligence, just given time and given desire, can work his way out of any nightmare.
Sure.
So let's bring in Larry Wick again.
Now, well, hey, let's hang on there. We're getting the music here for a break. You need you to go get your cognac and your cigar, sit in your big leather chair there.
Cognac and cigar. Yeah. Ruger.
You're listening to Stronghold Radio, coming to you courtesy of Liberty Tree Radio to many more listeners. We appreciate that. I am Dutch Jones, on the line of Steve Klein. We are talking about solutions. No more whining, no more complaining. Here at Liberty Tree Radio and Stronghold Radio, we like to give you solutions. We'll be back right after the break.
Stand for what's right. As long as I breathe, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. Every time I hear children say the pledge of allegiance, I'm reminded there's no price high for freedom. To keep America first, last and forever. We must stand our ground, fighting together. I'll stand for what's right. As long as I breathe, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. I'm a patriot, colored.
on my knees.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Studio monitor because Stacy lost her feed. You back? I can turn down the studio monitor. I want to get feedback or a bumpy sound. Woo, turn it the other way. I am Dutch Jones. This is Liberty Tree Radio. You're listening to our little interest is called Stronghold Radio, coming to you from Camp Kawea, Kawea, California. Yes, there are militias in California. And on the line we have Steve Klein, and we're talking about solutions. We do talk about the problems, but we like to more spend our time. I don't know if that's... I can't diagram that sentence. I like to talk about solutions more, and Steve's here on the line. Steve, you want to continue? I interrupted you, and I apologize, great sir. Continue with your thoughts.
It's a good show. The solutions, all in battle planning in the SMEAC, the battle planning, you always start with problems. The S is situation, which you start with your problem, then your mission, what do you want to do, and then your execution, how you're going to do it step by step, and then administration, command, and control. So before I get into SMEAC, which really what we're doing actually is what the Church of Kawea has done in accordance with the Continental Congress. You form your own government. I'll come back to that. Back to Larry Wick and the training and the comments I made about I would watch the guys in prison, and given time and desire and thinking, they could escape. Now, what Larry Wick training from, what I gleaned from it, he's going to give you that edge for the time, for the desire, and for the training, so that no matter how big or how fast the guy is, no matter how many of them there are, he's going to walk you through it, and he's going to give you a chance to survive and come back the next day. And by the way, if you do disarm one of these guys, probably a pistol or a rifle, probably a pistol that this guy has, is going to be unregistered, and guess what? Hey! Blue lights flashing. You just got yourself a free gun, unregistered, and the perp's not going to turn you in. Congratulations.
Yep.
Great way to get a new armory, right?
There you go. Go out and clean the streets of thugs.
So the 4 days in Naples, everybody, I get so upset when people come up, well, what pistol do you have? What rifle do you have? And I just look at them, as I used to do with my son, many people in combat, and I said, look, son, 22, close range, it's as good as an atomic bomb. When you're on the receiving end, it doesn't sound like 22. It sounds like a 5-millimeter cannon. Yeah, exactly. So learning the hard way when my son was blown up by a suicide bomber and shot to hell and everything. And then he killed a lot of the Muslims before and during that battle. He killed a lot of them. He led kill teams in Iraq like I did in Vietnam. Okay, so the 4 days in Naples, quit the crap about you got to have a big pistol or whatever. Look, a knife, fork, and a spoon, a bed, a toilet, a bathtub, some cups from the 8th floor, and you kick the guy's ass. Look, and then when you're done, you run down, you pick up his guns, and you chase him out in the name of Jesus Christ. You stop as soon as you defeat your enemy. We are not Muslims. We do not follow Satan. It's really simple. And we went over that. The battle planning is based on the law written on the heart. We had Department of Defense documents to prove that from 1955, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so we're going to jump now back into point number three. The battle planning that we did last Saturday was fabulous. I watched Dutch and the guys clearing houses and working good teamwork. We got veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, Army and Marine Corps. It was very impressive. I liked what I saw. Now, part of the deal that the Church of Kawea has is right out of the formation of the United States, starting with Form Your Own Government, the Continental Congress. A lot of people think, well, yeah, you're just going to jump out and fight these, whoever you're going to fight. But, okay, so you win. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
then what? Yeah, you're like the dog that chased the car for 5 years. He finally catches it. What do you do? You got to have your government. You got to have your government. And that comes out of the English Civil War. That comes out when Oliver Cromwell, his army, mm-hmm. the New Model Army, which our modern army is based on, with rank, with promotions, and with guaranteed pay. They didn't rob and rape people. In fact, the few that did were hung by the throat.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver Cromwell actually was the guy in charge of the Westminster Confession. Many people don't know that. Several of the Westminster Confession divines, the guys who wrote that outstanding piece of theology, were the chaplains, personal chaplains for Oliver Cromwell. Oliver Cromwell by no means was perfect, but goddammit, he was a lot better than anybody we got today. He was as good as George Washington, Stonewall Jackson, and Robert E. Lee put together. In my opinion, what the guy did was amazing. A lot of people don't understand it. He started off basically with Code 20.
His own militia.
Took the military out of the hands of the incompetent nobles, ran it. He had no formal military training, turned it into the most powerful army in the world, took on the Spaniards, beat the hell out of them, did all kinds of amazing things, and he gave us the rule of law. A lot of people don't understand. The rule of law states, and this comes from Equity, Article 3, Section 2, which goes back to the crazy incident where the Department of Justice thugs showed up today. Equity, fairness. Never ask your men to do that what you're not willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
For any thug to show up uniformed like these punks and to do to an American veteran what they did is not in the parameters of justice or fairness or equity or the rule of law. The rule of law coming out of the English Civil War stated that the king is under the law as the lowest, basest subject, street person.
There you
go. Before the law, the king will get the same due process and justice as the poorest of people. Now, it used to be pretty close to that in the United States up until about 50 or 60 years ago. But now, with all these crazy bureaucracies, I asked the one guy, I said, look, I'm really confused. Don't you have to have a search warrant to do this? And he says, under our bureaucratic rules and our bureaucracy, and I'm listening to this guy, we're recording it, he says, under our regulations, once this thing goes through the Department of Justice and it's triggered through the medical doctor on a 5150 psychiatric evaluation, we don't need a search warrant, we can just come in. I just looked at him, I said to the soldier, I said, didn't you raise your right hand to support and defend the Constitution of the United States? And doesn't that include due process and search warrants? And then I just shut up.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to fight him. I wasn't going to stop him. But I let him know, you know, I did the best I could. All right, so anyways, all I'm saying is that if we're going to do these things, Code 20, Larry Wick, the different things that we're doing, the cell warfare, asymmetrical warfare, fourth generation warfare, guerrilla warfare, whatever you want to call it, when we get done, we got to be able to put together a Christian-based government.
Amen.
And that's where, thank you, and that's where we are. So a couple of months ago, we did the S and SMEAC for situation. Then a couple of months ago, we did M for mission. Then this last Saturday, we did E for execution. What are we going to do? There's a five-step paradigm. If you want, I can email this to any of you who want it. The paradigm starts with number one. You got to have the proper theology, and I can just hear everybody going, "What's religion got to do with it?" Well, comrade, let's state it this way: the practical application of our deepest held and most cherished beliefs is known as politics, government, and of course, our deepest held and most cherished beliefs are known as religion. Therefore, religion is the basis of every government, and religion is the basis of all war and all peace. For example, every Muslim country starts off their constitution, every one except for three.
Hmm.
Every one of the Muslim countries starts their constitution off with Islam as the basis of all our law. So, in all of the Islamic countries, Sharia, Islamic law, is the basis of their government, and so they suffer under the highest degree of hostility, disorder, slavery, poverty, and misogyny, hate, and distrust of women. Whereas under our Anglo-American common law, based on the Holy Scriptures, we have the highest degree of peace, order, liberty, and prosperity.
Okay.
Article 3, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution, we've talked about that before, clearly states that all power is given to the Supreme Court in law and equity. Equity is the Ten Commandments, the rule of law, where the king is under the law as the basis of all subjects. So that if you are accused of robbing a bank, and you didn't rob a bank, and you're smart, and you flee because SWAT shows up, then a smart man should flee.
Yeah.
But under our current corrupt government, they should say, well, you are not guilty, and people showed up with guns and dressed very dangerously, a prudent man would flee. But under our perverted justice that we have today, they throw somebody in jail for 7 years.
Yeah.
All right, so going back to this equity, never ask your men to do that which you're not willing to do. The negative of it is seen on the flag with a snake where it says, don't tread on me. Do not unto others as you would not have done unto yourself.
Right.
That's the basis of all of our law. Okay. Go to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, and you'll see the Law of Nations. The Law of Nations is the law written on the heart, as codified in the Ten Commandments, coming to us from Anglo-American common law. So as we go to execution, number one, theology. You've got to have the right theology because you're going to do your rules of engagement. Remember Dutch, what I said, we were in there. The first 5 days I was in Vietnam, the day before I reported in, 16 Marines were killed in my company. We only had 80 to 85 guys in the company. 16 were KIA. We were desperate for Marines, desperate.
100%.
But for 5 days, myself and 7 or 8 other Marines were not allowed to go out into combat until a chaplain came in, went over the rules of engagement based on the Ten Commandments, the theology of government.
Wow.
I remember that. I was 18, barely 18 years old, and they went over it and they said, look, if the general himself comes out and tells you to rape or murder innocent people, you will say, with all due respect, no, sir. If he continues and persists, then you will whisper and conspire to the other men. It's not mutiny because he's giving you what? An unlawful order.
That's right.
So you will whisper and conspire. Why do you whisper and conspire? Because you're protecting yourself. You're trying to organize your men. And then when you have enough men who know, well, we can't rape that 12-year-old girl. We can't murder that prisoner. We can't do that. If the general continues, then you respectfully disarm him. And if he continues, you tie him up, and then you get ready to be arrested yourselves and brought forward before a tribunal. That's part of the American ethos of the law written on the heart of our law under the Articles of War, which were before the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So it all goes back to theology. I'm going to say it one more time. The practical application of our deepest held and most cherished beliefs is known as politics, government. And, of course, our deepest held and most cherished beliefs are known as religion. Therefore, religion is the basis of every government for all times, everywhere, in the whole world. And religion is the basis of war and peace. And for us, as Christians, it goes back to the Ten Commandments, the law written on the heart, and all of that Anglo-American common law. So all of you guys who think you're just going to jump out there and beat the hell out of everybody, shoot them up, knock them down, beat the hell out of them and say, tough guys, you get an F. Because first you got to organize the government, and that's where Pastor Warren Campbell, Dutch, they shine. That's what attracted me to come to them. They have their own government. You come in, you see the signs posted. What do they say, Dutch, on those signs when you come in?
They say no government officials are allowed on this property without the express permission of the stewards of the land, that the land is held in a church closed in the name of Jesus Christ, and is therefore a sanctuary granted to those who seek it. So like when the sheriff comes out and stuff, he stands on the edge of our property and honks his horn.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
It is.
Okay. All right, so number one, INSMEAC. You got situation, mission, execution under. Execution, you can't do anything as a battle planner unless you have the right theology. For example, and then I'll move on real quick. We're getting short on time.
Yeah, we got about 12 minutes.
Okay, I'll get through this real fast. Under theology, even when I was an atheist who believed in evolution, when I was one of the key battle planners, electronic warfare officer for Infantry Battalion, 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, I knew I only obeyed lawful orders, and if I got an order, which I did, from the President of the United States, fortunately, it was just an exercise, it wasn't a real order, but the first thing that came to my mind, okay, my job is to move 1,000 to 3,000 Marines 10,000 miles and kill 100,000 miles, 100,000 people. What gives me the authority and the morality to do that? So all of you guys who just want to go out there and just start shooting like the Godfather, think that through. And that's what we offer at Code 20. That's what we offer with the Larry Wick training. That's what we offer with the October conference. That's what we offer with all the stuff that we're doing. It starts with proper theology. You get that, you move to the next point, which is real simple, because you've already done it. You armed, and I know you're all armed. Number three.
Yeah, just move on from there. Yeah.
Move on from there. Move on. We're done with the hard part. Number three, we link up with 3 to 5 families. Most people think you got to have 3,000 to 5,000. Well, folks, do you have 3 to 5? Most people don't. Most people say, I can't find 3 to 5. Well, then get 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. We had 2 guys, a nephew and an uncle. The yep. nephew is about 40 years old. The uncle's about 50 years old. And then we got to the 3 to 5, and I said, look, if it's just nephew and uncle, your 2 families, there's your 3 to 5, and work on it. And plus, if things fall apart, like in the movie Defiance, people are going to come to you. Okay,
yeah.
Point number 4, we have proper theology. Number 2 is arm. Number 3, get 3 to 5 families. Number 4, organization. Your organization is real easy. Start with these 4 documents. Number 1, the Mayflower Compact. Number 2, the Declaration of Independence. Number 3, Article 3 and Article 6 of the Northwest Ordinance. Most people don't understand it. The Northwest Ordinance brought the first 35 states after the 13 colonies into America as full states with equal immunities and privileges as the first 13 states. Last state, 1913, was Arizona. In other words, the Northwest Ordinance, which was passed in 1784 and the first thing ratified in 1787 at the Constitutional Convention, in my opinion, is more powerful than the Constitution of the United States, because Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance is so powerful, if I can find it,
yeah.
which I have it. I got Article 1.
It's a good read,
there.
Actually.
Pardon?
It's a very good read. I was rereading it a couple days ago.
Yeah, it starts off with Article 3, religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind. Happiness then meant virtue of mankind. Schools and means of education shall forever be encouraged. When they said religion, they meant the Protestant religion of Paul Revere and those guys in those days. And that goes right back, that Article 3, and then Article 6 goes through there, repeats it. So that was in, the first 5 states brought in was Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Michigan, the Northwest Territories. And it was so successful, Europe was going insane over the success of that. Alexis de Tocqueville, who wrote Democracy in America, said America was never an infant nation, always old, always mature, because it was 18 centuries old. What did he mean? He meant it was based on the Protestantism of Jesus Christ. Okay.
Reformation.
Exactly. The 2 great commandments, no king but King Jesus. So number 1, theology. Number 2, arm. Number 3 is you have 3 to 5 families. Number 4, organization. Mayflower Compact, Declaration of Independence, Article 3 and 6 of the Northwest Ordinance, and Constitution minus slavery. Now, that goes right back to what we teach at Code 20 and Larry Wick teaches, which is the morality of self-defense, morality of being blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah, we'll show up with a .44 Magnum. If you're stupid enough to take us on, we'll waste you if you're that dumb. But first, we're going to tell you, why don't you just back off? Nehemiah stood there with a big-ass sword in one hand and a big-ass Bible in the other hand, and the Arabians, check it out, chapter 4, verse 7, and chapter 6, verse 1, the Arabians, the sons of Ishmael, the fathers of Islam, they never, Nehemiah never had to fight them.
No.
Dutch Jones, Steve Klein, and the soldiers that we use at Code 20, it is my prayer we never have to kill anybody or shoot at anybody.
Right.
That's our prayer. Okay, and then the 5th point is prepare. So I'm going to say them all 5 again, then I'm going to turn it over to Dutch. Number 1, proper theology. Number 2, arm. And number 3, get 3 to 5 families. Number 4, organization. And number 5 is prepare. That's under the execution for Code 20, under SMEAC, Situation, Mission, Execution, Administration, Command, and Communications. SMEAC is battle planning for 4 men. or for the entire United States Army and Marine Corps Dutch takeover, dude.
You know, that's true. It's what's unique about these is it can work with a four-man fire team or four platoons of dedicated, properly trained militia. And it doesn't really work with improperly trained militia. That's the key about. And you kind of, I don't know if you saw it. There were some people, we had different skill levels there Saturday when I was doing the two-man fire team drills in the mud and the you know, going over the obstacle course and screaming at them and yelling at them. Some of the people, you know, God bless that little woman. I can't think of her name right now off the top of my head. Karen, I think?
Kristen,
thank you. She gave it her all. She gave it her all. That's all I ask. Her all maybe wasn't as good as, say, the soldier who got blown up. Or I think he was a Marine, Josh. But, you know, he had pins and stuff in him, rods in him, and he was going over those walls and barrel rolling through the mud pit and everything. But they both gave their all. It's just like in the Bible where the widow gives two pennies, the rich guy gives, you know, $500, but was it really everything he had? The widow gave everything she had, and that's all we're asking. And an untrained militia is dangerous, but if I've got people that are willing to put forth and sacrifice, because I always say training is a form of worship, and worship should be sacrificial. Come to the trainings, pay a little bit of money for the instructors. It's not making me rich. It's not making the church or Steve rich. It's paying for the airfare to get a guy from down from Alaska and the other instructor from Phoenix that's coming in. And, you know, and so these skills, I can't even put a price on them. So you have to have the training. Now, if we were fortunate enough and we had 30 guys that could train and we didn't have to charge, that would be great too. But there are things involved. We got to keep the lights on. We got to keep the grass mowed. We got to keep that. Everybody loves our obstacle course. Those walls cost money. The doors cost money. You know, the mud was free, but the targets, the shooting, the surface for our shooting range costs money. Now, rather than tell everybody, well, we're going to charge everybody dues, so you participate in the training you like. And that's why the conference is so important, because there's going to be more there than an individual can do in the 2 days. There's going to be more stations with more training, everything from gold panning, because people want that, so we're going to do that, to triage, to firearms training, to we'll have some of the unarmed self-defense stuff, to water purification. But you've got to be wise. You send your kids to one thing, your wife to something. The wife could take the canning class while the husband's out learning how to do the fire building, that kind of stuff. We've got to be wise, and we've got to be sacrificial in our training. A militia with no training is useless. Look what George Washington wrote about the militia early on in the conflict. He couldn't stand them until they started getting trained. Then he started to utilize them better. And if you look in the southern part of the United States during the conflict, the militias were doing a lot. But just showing up with some really shiny gear, a really nice tactical vest that you bought from us, hopefully, is not going to cut it. You've got to have the planning. You've got to have the training. And let's talk about it. Let's turn it legal. If you are on the field of combat, I don't care if we're fighting the Chinese, La Raza, or I like how I say La Raza. I roll that R. I sound really good. Or the UN. Yeah. If you are not in a chain of command, if you're not uniformed in a certain way with a unit designation, they're just going to shoot you when they take you prisoner. You're going to be shot as a spy or an unlawful combatant. The reason you join militias, whether it's regulated, old, unregulated, whatever you want to call it, whatever your state constitution calls for, and I'm not an expert on it, I've just studied for California, to be honest with you. The importance of teaming up together, grouping together, gives you some kind of recognition. Now, if you're 3 to 5 families and operating as a partisan, that's a whole different thing. But one leads to the next.
Yeah, if the whole government falls apart, then it's 80 bar the door. It's just plain vanilla survival. Yeah.
But there are steps. Do you think the founding fathers went to war with England without a plan following the victory? They didn't say, well, we'll just flip a coin and we'll see what kind of government we're going to have. No, they knew. They may have debated after the victory. They may have debated putting the Constitution together, but at least wise men, diligent, God-fearing men, had a plan. And that's what SMEAC and Code 20 are about.
Okay, so October conference is only, get a load of this, $50 for a whole family. So if it's mom, dad, and 10 kids, $50.
Russian families with 10 kids.
Yeah, if it's grandma and grandpa, $50. If you're solo, $50. Now, I'm hoping in that that we'll be able to bring Larry Wick back down. I'd like to bring in maybe the fellow that owns Liberty Tree Radio so he can see what's going on.
Oh, we've been wanting that. We've been inviting him, but it just hasn't worked out. We would love to have the Corn Keys here. Wouldn't that be great, guys? Yeah.
We're gonna see if we can get the fellow from South Sudan, the guy where they just won their independence from the Northern Khartoum, Northern Sudan, see if he can come out, Mr. William Levi, the guy who's on board with us. I tried to scare him, but he was like, oh, Mr. Steve, we have been fighting against the Muslims for 16 years. All of our women, they get their breasts cut off when they are captured. They murder. They rape. Mr. Steve, if you do not fight for your family, you are not the Christian. I went, okay, dude, you're in.
He's already on board.
So we're going to see if we can get him to come out. I got training June 9th in Missouri. We're working on Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, and upstate Wisconsin and Idaho. We got a lot of stuff going on right now. Part of our deal is Dutch and I are very determined to raise funds with this conference in October.
Yeah.
Make it a lot of fun. You know, Dutch has some awesome ideas. I'm just getting out of Dutch's way. He knows what he's doing. I'm hoping we can bring in $3,000 to $6,000, and then we can use that and we can start doing a whole host of things. Really, I think there's an awful lot of people in the United States who really want to get involved in what Dutch and Pastor Warren and myself are doing. So, Dutch, there's a couple minutes left. I'm kind of tired.
That's it. We're done. Thank you, Steve, for being on. I still like what you told me on the phone when you were talking to the Missouri militias, when you were telling them about what you were doing here with our militia and our code 20. They went, militias in California? No.